Almighty and merciful God, from whom comes all counsel, wisdom, and understanding, we humbly ask you to guide and assist us in our deliberations and in our work. May all our efforts be directed to the welfare and good of our community and our country. May we act honorably in pursuit of true justice to all our people, now and for the future, and for generations still to come. Amen.
Meeting of Parliament, Friday the 14th of February 2020, Order Proceedings. Confirmation of minutes. The minutes of the last meeting of the Parliament, which was held on the 20th, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th of January 2020.
May I find the minutes back, correct?
Mr. Speaker, we had the sad news last week of the passing of a member, a former member of this House, Mr. Lucio Randi, with whom I had the pleasure and honour of serving on the opposition benches. I think some of the members here were also members of this House at the time. But he was a member between 2003 and 2007. And I think the whole community has felt the passing of Mr. Randi because he was a gentle and kind man, the sort of person for whom the word gentleman was designed. I considered him a close friend and colleague who was afflicted by illness in recent years, and I didn't see enough of, but nonetheless, a close personal friend and a close colleague. I know he's also a neighbor to some others here as well, apart from being close to others on this side of the House. And because he was a former member of the House, I would ask the House to join me in showing respect for Lucio's memory here and for his family by joining in a minute's time.
And before we do that, I also would like to join him in acknowledging his passing of the company. We send our condolences to the family. I think he's done so already on social media. Lucio was someone who was, as he continues to say, a real gentleman when he entered the political arena. He was someone who ran Fairfield and Dunning, and I held the ministerial portfolio for telecommunications. He joined the political arena when I left in 2003, so in that relay, I saw him out and about in that political election, and he was indeed, I think, we were all touched by the loss. Condolences also to his family and indeed to the different
people. The Honourable Mr. Speaker,
I unfortunately never had the privilege of meeting this great man who everyone describes as a gentleman, but I have also been hearing in the last week of the great conviction and drive that he had and of his key role within the GSOP and within our political trajectory in the last few decades. And as a speaker personally, this is something that I find inspirational myself, and I thank him for it as a relative newcomer to the political scene. I take this opportunity to pass my condolences and those of my party to his family, and wish him strength and faith at these difficult times, but to also take comfort and to share celebrate a legacy that Mr. Ramsey leaves one letter to be part of Mr. Susan. Thank you.
I too wish to associate myself with the sentiments expressed by all honorable members. We now proceed to answer to all questions. We commence with question number 123 of 2020. My apologies. Statement from 2020.
Mr. Speaker, I have no doubt that all honourable members will agree that we should start today's session by formally recording the Hansa, and therefore for posterity in the documentary archive of this House. But this is the first time that the Parliament meets since our legal departure from membership of the European Union. We are still caught in what has been termed the transition period, as defined under the withdrawal agreement. Political arrangements therefore remain under the withdrawal agreement and the default of protocol as they were before our legal departure from the European Union. Mr. Speaker, there will be a need, no doubt, for me to address the House again in the coming months on the many aspects of the negotiation of our future relationship with the EU. I shall be seeking to come here and inform honourable members and the public as often as possible in order to ensure the greatest possible level of transparency in respect to such negotiations as we now embark on. For today, however, I want to do no more than simply to record for Hansard that the debate in this House from today relates to our position outside the legal membership of the European Union. Mr. Speaker, may I respond on behalf of the opposition to say that we certainly do agree, Mr. Minister, that we should note that this is the first step in a parliament outside the European Union, and that I was right to report it. Normally, if there's a degree of consensus between that side and this side, I would normally express it in terms that we would be happy to agree. But I'm not going to be very happy, because in the context of our departure from the European Union, I believe that is not an emotional sentiment that, in fact, forms part of our exit. But we do, I think it's important that I've said also before, that now that we've passed that date or the exit, that while we note that perhaps we didn't want to get there, we are now realistic, constructive, and positive towards the future. There's no point now looking back because that moment has passed. We look forward to engaging in this next process. Ultimately note that the sessions of Parliament are having to be held past the point of exit. We certainly look forward to meet the greatest possible level of transparency in respect of the negotiations as we go forward. I said to him privately and publicly, we would have a good place if he wants it. Cooperation. He mentions in his statement
that we look forward to updating the site in the spirit of openness. We also understand that there may be things that are not for this house, and that there also is in the confidentiality. That's a different kind of process. But we will also, from this side of the house, perform our duty, keeping the arrangements that we made, both in terms of the operation of this house and in terms of the weather. We know that as in the context of our constitutional role, as the opposition for the world.
I may feel with the issues of the honourable racism for them, without the other issues of the honourable radio rules. May I just take a, first of all, a formalistic point, which I think is important. The honourable gentleman is intended to respond with a government statement which admits of the request for clarification and a question, but not a, a response that I will take the point he has made as being points that speak about clarification. And I will start by agreeing with him that this is not a happy moment. I've been careful not to use that word or anything which might communicate such a sentiment in the statement I've made this afternoon. But there is an intractable reality, which is that we have left the European Union, and that we are agreeing, not because we think it is a good thing, but because it is a fact. And it is, as we have perhaps said in the past, an unfortunate fact that we have now crossed the Rubicon, we have lowered the flag that has been pictured for the international community, and we are now at a different stage. But there is no need to rival the state treaty. That is the reality. And we now have to work to make the best of this new reality. And I think that is what the people of Gibraltar have been good at generation after generation. I've said before that I think that there is an opportunity in this moment also, even if it's not an opportunity that we have thought, but that is the reality of which we are doing. Mr. Speaker, the Deputy Chief Minister will be convening members of the Brexit Select Committee for a briefing of the council who's been holding so many before the election for Thursday of next week. So I hope all the members will be available. The Deputy Committee will be in touch with our offices, as has been the case in the past. It is in the course of those briefings where we seek to convey to honourable members the information that we are unable to convey more openly to the community at this stage, although that information is imparted to honourable members in the context of those confidential briefings. It comes information that can be shared more openly and more widely. It is the assistant supervisor seek your leave to make a further statement to share that information from here. If the House is in session, it will otherwise be shared publicly. If the House is not in session, with the wider community. Of course, Mr. Speaker, honourable members are elected to a role in opposition which requires them to scrutinise arrangements and all of the rest of it. We are delighted to be held accountable, first and foremost to parliamentarians, and that is the role of parliamentarians, depending on where they're sitting in the House. Some instances to execute and do, some instances to ask and check, and that is, of course, absolutely appropriate. But one thing I would say to honourable members in this House, and it's a little bit of a message I have tried to ensure that the whole of the community appreciates, is that there will be a lot of dissembling and positioning in media beyond the border. In some instances, for the purposes of positioning others in respect of Gibraltar, and in some instances, for the purposes of positioning others not in respect of Gibraltar, but in respect of bigger negotiations and bigger tectonic plates that are needed. All of the members should feel free to pick up the phone and communicate to us, or in more modern forms, such as here, if they see something that genuinely concerns them. They should not think that the only way of getting to the bottom of an issue is to raise it publicly across the floor of the House. But I have seen a lot of things which I know not to be true emerging as facts. And only to see later facts demonstrate that they are unsustainable and untrue. There is a lot of politics being played out, not just the politics that we are used to, the politics of Spain and Gibraltar, but the politics in Spain.
local audiences in Brussels and London. And because my view and my position is that the voter is best served when the voter holds its nose, knows what it wants, and goes and gets it. And I have no doubt that we will achieve a good negotiated outcome for this community at the end of this process, unless others are not interested in a general negotiation or this to be objective that no one in this house will.
Honourable lady.
Mr. Speaker, I thank the Chief Minister for his statement recording the regrettable reality of where we find ourselves at this present time. However, on a point of clarification, I feel duty-bound to ask the Chief Minister whether he will genuinely embark in the next few weeks or months on a programme that will provide opposition with more of an insight into the role that his administration is playing in the Brexit conundrum that we are seeing unfold and we have experienced of late. Mr. Speaker, at the moment, I think it is true to say that myself and the Leader of the Opposition, whose party both represent close to half of the Libertarian electorate, we are learning what's going on behind the scenes primarily from the Spanish and European press. The Chief Minister has just alluded to the press emergence, but things get very difficult for us when we find that our primary source of development and information is the press itself. So, on behalf of the year of at least 20.5% of the electorate, I ask government for this clarification. Will government genuinely commit to sharing with opposition in the coming weeks and months its plans, its red lines, its guidelines, so that opposition with government can truly navigate this crucial moment in our history with perfection choice in the most unified way, which is what we need at this time?
The Honourable Lady has, I think, put her point as a point of clarification, and I'm going to ensure that I clarify what I said and not enter into a debate with her, which I feel almost tempted to do, but I'm going to try and avoid that. Mr. Speaker, of course the government is genuine in offering the information that we have referred. And the Honourable Lady knows that that is the case because the Honourable Lady and other honourable gentlemen on that side of the House have been the beneficiaries of the briefings and the support that we are offering during the course of the negotiations that will play out in the second political field. Now, I understand that it all has to be politics, but they will know, and in some instances have said so, that they were very, very, very fully briefed about what was going on in the process of the war agreement. In some instances, the figures they felt that they saw things at the last minute is because things happen in negotiations, and particularly in international diplomacy. Much as they happen in everyday life, and in any negotiation, things sometimes skip at the last minute, and they were therefore briefed at the last minute before things emerge publicly. But, Mr. Speaker, I want to be very clear in ensuring that the Honourable Lady understands that they are not hearing, she is not hearing, and the community is not hearing, what is going on behind the scenes from press reports. They are hearing waffle, nonsense, and pickle from press reports. None of what is going on behind the scenes has been contained in any newspaper. In Spain, in Argentina, in Brussels, and Gibraltar. There is speculation upon speculation because we are that stage, that same period in the negotiation, where the United Kingdom is putting together what it wants, the Europeans are more or less finished putting together what it wants, and journalists need to write about something, and they're speculating about what may or may not happen. They're talking to diplomats and politicians who are whispering their ears, and others are conjecturing things. Nowhere near the stage where honourable members are reading in Spanish newspapers what is happening behind the scenes. They're reading nonsense that is being printed in Spanish newspapers. They are reading also direct interviews that are being carried out with politicians, where those politicians are properly quoted and they've been interviewed and they've given their views. And look, when honourable members read that in newspapers, they're reading it at the same time as we are, although I do pride myself in being the first to read anything that mentions Gibraltar, not more. but that is not something where honourable members have any delay other than their own assiduousness in pursuit of you or in knowing what is happening. But these honourable members did not for 1 minute believe and did not convey to this community that there is something happening behind the scenes which is not being communicated to this community in any way, and which is coming out in newspapers. That is not happening. And I want the lady to have that assurance because it's important that we don't go away thinking the opposite, and it's important that everyone can get the views of the country. Although I do accept that we're printing an 85-page newspaper requires a lot of speculation, especially when the Premier League is on its winter break and the leader is not at the top of its game and you've got to fill a lot of pages. I understand that. But there is none of that going on. These are, to a very great extent, for other governments, the planning stages. The government of the water is much more advanced, I would say, than most studies. In this respect, Speaker, I would remind the Honourable Lady of what I said in the course of an interview I gave to a week and a half ago, no doubt that is me, he does say it, but I said something I would never expect to have said in respect of one particular individual. And I said people should listen more to Rodolfo Canepa and Joe Bassano than they should to the Spanish newspaper, but I didn't expect to say that people should listen more to Peter Caguana than to some other sources of news. But in fact, honourable members, I think, were with us when we were watching the interviews given by those who former incumbents of the post that I hold and they covered. And I was particularly keen to see the things that Sakita, Joe, and I don't know if I can't have a former speaker said, because they were a very clear indication of how perhaps members of the public should view this. They should not think. And all the members in particular should not fall into the trap of thinking that there is somehow a party to this potential negotiation that holds the whip hand. And we should not whip ourselves up into thinking that they do, because that would be the worst possible situation to put this community in, especially given the reflection. I hope that helps you to the Honourable Lady. I hope in the course of our continued work with briefing, she will continue to be as engaged and positive as she was in the course of the withdrawal negotiations, which we all on this side of the House took a lot from, as we did from the contribution by Mr. Putin. But I do appreciate that afterwards, from the light to the cameras are rolling, that was the same time on the topic of the contribution. Peter, I wonder if you want to clarify one point formally in his response to Honourable Lady when he talks about Waffle and other such news items from our Waffle's press report. I'd be interested to know his views of the Spanish Foreign Minister's interview given to the Financial Times very recently, I think 2 days ago, in which they quote him saying, "We're living in the 21st century. All we have done with the fiscal treaty is probably much more important than we realize for our sovereignty. We do not want to invade an unfair competition next to the border." Mr. Speaker, in the 2 points of view, is this lawful?
Mr. Speaker, there are people who are elected to the House who take it seriously and consider that what they should do here is to help the community to advance, and there are people who obviously are more interested in trying to perniciously seek to pursue their own agendas. I'll make no comment on who falls into what category. No doubt we each have different views as to who falls into what category. But in the context of what I have said, I am here to be requesting to ask for clarification on my statement, not in respect of my answer to the supplementary issues of clarification that have been sought. I saw an interview with the Spanish Foreign Minister in the Financial Times. I saw an interview with the Spanish Foreign Minister in El País, and I heard an interview by the Spanish Foreign Minister in the Radio Nacional de España. I thought that In part, what he said was very constructive and positive, and in part, what he said, I think that I would not agree with. I don't think it is sensible for me to go through every word that the other Gonzalez Lara went in an interview with the Times newspaper, and in my view, the honourable member knows that the view of the government, and indeed of the former chief minister, of the tax treaty, is that it makes absolutely no concessions whatsoever in respect of sovereignty, although he is a peer, and a few others who have never garnered the support of this community in any meaningful measure, taking different views.
We now move to answers to all questions. We come into question number 123. The questioner is the Honourable E.J. Hayes.
This is Speaker, sir. Is the Minister for Sport now in a position to provide this House with a copy of a memorandum of understanding signed with the Sport for Football Association, and which was referred to by the Minister in his reply to the previous question?
I am the Honourable Minister for Housing, Youth and Sport.
Mr. Speaker, prior to the last session of Parliament, I have been informed that the document was already to be signed, which I misinterpreted as notification that it had been signed. And, as such, I informed the House that the MOU had been signed when, in fact, which was still in the final negotiation stages. I'm happy to amend the record of Hansard to reflect it. Subsequent to my answer, several minor pending items have been further raised and discussed, leading to the GSLO to the signing of the final draft of the MOU as soon as possible. I must first disclose that this MOU will be signed between the Gibraltar, Sports and Leisure Authority, and the GSA, not the government and the GSA.
I thank the Minister for this clarification, and I accept that it's almost signed and not quite, maybe has not quite got to the bottom line yet. In the final part of the answer, I was in the city was going to be signed obviously by GSLA, probably by himself as chairman or the chief executive. But would the minister, rather than have this item come out, would the minister be in a position that once the signed and so on, he simply forwards me a copy and therefore maybe people don't have to go in and invite for the same day? No, I accept that he's trying to get the best things possible on behalf of the GSLA as his chairman, and therefore I would accept it. You simply, simply forward to a copy and then if any certifications that are always communicated with him thereafter.
Mr. Speaker, the answer would be exactly like I did in the last session of Parliament. For my part, I have no objection that there are two parties to this MOU, and therefore, it would be a very happy to share it and happy to be saved.
Question number 124, the Honourable
E.J. Can the Minister for Sport provide details of starting level at the Europa Sport facilities, indicating who provides these services, along with a list of duties contracted to the Paradise Contract?
I'm the Honourable Minister for Housing, Youth and Sport.
With the speaker, starting levels at the Europa Sports Park are still to be determined, as are the exact list of duties and costs.
I understand the speaker may answer that it is not yet settled, but in the interim period, and since it is in the news, what is happening right now? Who is sort of providing the starting services? And generally speaking, what are their range of duties?
for me to see that he's starting funds will be determined by the management company, which will run the conflict, once this has been set up and registered. At this present time, we envisage that the contractor will give us the property, the assets, but the contractor is still partly running because of the flooding and all that, like I said last time. Am I correct in speaking in assuming that although the facilities have still not been fully handed over due to flooding and so on, and in the process of having had a management company, due to being operational as a port as a port facility, if someone needs to address something with members of staff up there, who should they approach at this moment? Is it the construction company, or is it someone in the meantime so that if one has a need to inquire about something or something for the facility, at least one has an indication which channel that person can help? Could it be to the CEO of the Port of Labour Authority, or is there already a separate body not accountable to the SLA running the facility? Mr. Speaker, I would appreciate from the honourable member if he states who are the ones that are affected or want the information. Mr. President, as I said, the meeting is currently only the pitch is currently being used by Rodney, and they are the ones only training on the pitch itself, so there shouldn't be any issue. We are in the process now of hopefully allocating once we get the assets and some of the places and positions that are in place, then we will allocate to all the other associations. Because at the moment, it's one of those things that people want to use it, and basically the contractors are still there, and it's an interesting period where people still want to use it and discourage from using it because of insurance issues and all that. But at the moment, this is not the place to be used, although it's taken, like I said, that we are turning on the picture. I think it's about the same thing, and that is that other than being rearranged in cricket, it's still not sort of open for booking for rugby. So it is like that. One keeps on seeing from different organizations their use of venues. I know Dark have been using the venue. Cricket Homes have very recently been putting out an announcement that it's a training facility, although it may be just simply indoor nights, but it's a very. But for all these events, whether they are a formal rugby match, such as an international, we had the first international game of 2020, it actually carries up at the end. But family, sports levels, the cases are turned and so on. Sometimes one wants to know where to address to ask for something, to be concerned, or to have the same case for the country.
The craft of work of DJDS is on the top there. The one that's sort of like, want to know better words, married in the book.
Question number 125, the Honourable Inge Zay.
Can the Minister for Sport provide information in respect to what was called the settlement of the retrofit that the Labour Sport complex is subsided, together with details of when this will be repaired along with expected costs?
Thank you, the Honourable Minister for Housing, Youth and Sport.
Mr. Speaker, the gift of the settlement of the retrofit is caused by differential settlement at the end of the concrete basement that protrudes under the dead ball area. This will be rectified during the assessment in March 2020 when the specialist contractor needs to return to complete their work. Please note this repair is making good a defect and will not be at the cost of HMGAD. I would like to say to the Honourable Member that this has been while the was not handed to us, like I said in the question, the previous question, and why this type is a flagging good life. I'm glad to hear from you because, first of all, the good news is that the repairs and the defects do not cost the taxpayer anything, as far as I'm concerned. So, I think I noticed the minister said that it's an area I hear him that where the dreadful area that the term used is that because I'm led to believe from mentioning of many, many years that the war was the perfect, but that is probably part of the perfect system. Being near the boundary line could make a real difference, you know, to the people that's trying to stop the war going forward. So I wish him the best in the future. You know, if he wants a pedantic person to go around with him to help him with all these issues, Mr. Sunny, we can go and share sports news again and take our magnifying glass to do that in the first place. Yes, Mr. Speaker, in fact, it doesn't even go to the boundaries with the Canadian. The former, it doesn't affect the actual figure, the yesterday, and the final of the honorable member's name. So, I invite him to come in one day and we'll go to the other two.
Speaker, can the honorable minister confirm or perhaps provide information? Is this the final safety transition?
Well, the speaker in the last parliament, I did highlight one of them as well, which is the flooring outside, which is slippery. So that is another part of the done again, not as a possible element. At the moment, I would say that there are a few bits and pieces that we might need fixing once we go through the whole area, like toilet, piping, electricity. It has to be, this is a flat interior, that's why I mean, the key should have been given to us, but the key things have popped up, we'd rather not get the key, and I guess the final product, which is a final finish, totally from the product.
Question number 126, the Honourable E.J.
Further to the answer provided to question number 13 of 2020, can the Minister for Housing provide an estimate to state for when residents of other people house can benefit from the same warming facilities as already exist in other residential homes provided by the government for previously for senior citizens?
Answer the Honourable Minister for Housing, Youth and Sport.
Mr. Speaker, residents around the Mutual House will, as from the 1st of March 2020, benefit from facility services during extra hours within their facilities. Representatives of the estate have already been informed.
Question number 127, the Honourable Inge Bailey.
One for me, I think that it's extremely good news for the government. We like going into the difficulties of running councils and dealing with commissions and so on. But in terms of careful using words to say that the residents have been informed, can I take with you from there they have been informed and they have agreed and accepted the case? Typical human nature, sometimes we get an understanding of what we have the whole night. So I would think that we can mind that we be speaking of facilities, because we keep on comparing with other places and the grass only seems to be green on the other side for many of us.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I had the honor of meeting one of the groups of the pensioners yesterday, and it wasn't the other people then, and they were really over the moon. Again, about the way in which we are at least dealing with it, in the sense that we try to go through everything that they ask for, and sometimes what they ask for is not possible, and we have to tell them that it's not possible. In this case, I had the honor of meeting representatives of Albert Reacher House today, and they are over the moon again, because this has been pending for a long time, and what is promised is to be given. And I'm glad to say that the committee was really happy to know that as from the 1st of March, over the wall, as from the 1st of March,
I'm also happy to be here. Question number 127, the Honourable E.J. Hayes.
The members of the House are aware that we are growing in new countries and current businesses. I think the minister further indicates what we need and what we need undertaken to clear this potential drainage topic.
I'm also the Honourable Minister for Housing, Youth and Sport.
Mr. Speaker, we are aware of these issues and we are deeply key tackles. The matter was brought to the attention of the Chief Minister and the former Minister for Housing when they visited the estate. The remedial work will include the erection of several active scaffoldings in order to enable the safe removal of the weeds. This is currently ongoing. Additionally, and as a set out by us at the general election, we will be shortly commencing a phase 4 refurbishment of Barrow Bay.
Question number 128, the Honourable E.J. Hayes.
Planning government provides updated details in respect of when the refurbishment work at Laguna Estate are expected to be completed.
And for the Honourable Minister for Housing, Youth and Sport.
Mr. Speaker, the refurbishment work at Laguna Estate are already practically complete.
I think you have speaker that the last factory is completed, but I've asked for updated details of when, you know, indicated that in the past, other ministers for housing have indicated the date of when different stages could be completed or ready for flagging. Can we have some approximate dates there resulting in that?
Mr. Speaker, practically very near, and I'm sure that it's for all that is needed for cleaning up. So I would say sometime next week we will clean up the whole place. I mean, clean up when the scaffolding is coming, the staff and things like that, which is complete. So that is where the stage that so I would say next week.
And in the minutes of which the stage will be taken, I can tell the director, as expected. And for those stages, that's one can do the things that I know the flagging has really dragged on. Some can include the availability of labor force in the higher stages. So, the minister is there by asking more specific questions. It's not going to be having more information there at hand, but it is to reach this to higher level to bring a bit more peace of mind to Laguna State.
Is there a remember specifically Laguna State?
Yes, I have no problem with him asking this question. Maybe completely.
Is Laguna State over the moon that the refurbishing work has been completed now after 9 years? From speaker, the whole government, and indeed all of the ministers in it, are delighted. Over the moon, ecstatic, and indeed entire years ago, that the work that has been required in these forgotten estates, it was undertaken by successive ministers for housing in the government of West Berlin, has been completed. But the figure that we were caught did not entirely follow the advice of honourable members opposite, which was not to do the refurbishment, to slow down the refurbishment, to have less spending on the refurbishment, because if we didn't, the moon would be very far away, we would never have got over it, and we would be as underjoyed as the electorate was underwhelmed by the performance of the last election.
Question number 129, the Honourable E.J. Hayes.
Thank you,
Mr.
Speaker. Can government inform this House what action it is taking to ensure the prompt removal of couples once the refurbishment
Highland Youth Council.
Mr. Speaker, in possibility of the fence removal of scaffolding, the anti-servicing work are completed is down to the main contractor. However, at times, there is a need for further work, inspections and snagging, which may delay the removal of active scaffolding.
Mr. Speaker, you have previous answers to questions such as example one thing in December. We were told that the work of the one thing that is going there was complete, and yet only the last week has the government been removed. I think what I understand from the minister saying is that the work of the parish out of removing the scaffold is certainly pertaining to the contractor, but the blockage of natural light to the flat there, and then if we use it to one to the road with the way of being cleared for people to see. But at the time that I posed the question, the scaffold has been taken down from against the wall and simply placed on taking up 3, 4, maybe 5 parking spaces on the other side of the road, and that's to the annoyance of not only the residents which have been wanting to the road, but now to the annoyance of all the residents who have paid for their annual zone to credit and have lost the parking spaces. You can make the contractor not moving them. Rumor has it that the contractor leaves them there at 3 stories waiting for the next contract to be filled, and therefore he can simply move to something else tomorrow. So my question was, who's the responsibility in this, meaning within an official and competent authority, because it is the standard of the region to ensure that the public highway is not there.
Mr. Speaker, I go back to my original answer where it is the contractor who is liable and is responsible for taking away the capacity. Remember the honourable member didn't even know that it was number 61 in Federal Grove. He came here saying it was 63 in one of the questions, and he even got the house wrong. I don't see the political issue of this. I mean, the honourable member thinks that the technical services or infrastructure will have to employ one or two people extra to go and inspect that the contractors actually move all the things when they should be moved. I think the honourable member should be happy at the fact that all the scaffolding is now removed. The people who have been servicemen done, they are happy living where they are, and that is where we are at this moment in time. So, crying about the parking is I think, rather irrelevant.
First, I'd like to clarify the question I posed in December 3rd to the particular building at number 63 was based on one information given by residents of here, one wanted to be used to the limit to number 63, and now they get to the site. So one knows that house numbers work from the north towards the south, instead of south to go, the higher number is. Knowing where number 59 is, and knowing that there's a building between what is now referred to as number 61, one would basically assume from a that's a 59 in all numbers, 1061, and then 1063. But anyway, I expect you to be corrected, and although I have been a member of the club, I'm certainly not infallible, so I'm grateful for that. But the gist of my question is that someone has to be, the competent authority to ensure that scaffolds are no longer required because the work has been completed, etc., and that is simply not necessary. To the parents and the servants of members, and above all, for the benefit of those who pay for the county parking.
So, Peter, we are obviously genuinely grateful for the mathematics lesson, and we will, of course, consider at the instigation of honourable members the creation or designation of a competent authority for the clearing of scaffolding.
Speaker. The Minister's intervention is in the news of chemistry. The Honourable Member, my colleague, asked rhetorically, I think, at the time. What he wondered why my honourable colleague was raising this issue, saying that he wonders what the political issues are, but really, because there's nothing good that the political issues are very financial. They're financial, they are cost issues, there's issues of gentrification, of aesthetic issues, there's issues of to the highway, potentially. All those issues are issues of massive public interest that should concern the government, so it's not the good.
Well, we don't agree that those issues are right. Because we don't agree that there is an issue of access to the highway, because the other members obviously have not demonstrated that it is the case here, and they surely cannot be asking about the hypothetical because the rules don't allow them to ask about hypothetical. We don't agree with the people that it's an issue of beautification, because scaffolding is used in order to beautify, and therefore the absence of scaffolding may not enable us to do the damage we need. I don't think that we don't think that there's necessarily a risk of cost, because as the Honourable Gentleman knows, his colleague started his question about cost by saying the rumour is that there is a cost to the public price of the scaffolding is there, and the Honourable Member, I think last time or this time, clarified that there was in fact no cost to the public price. So, Mr. Speaker, on all of the assumptions that the Honourable Gentleman has made, he is demonstrably wrong and we don't agree. One thing, however, is clear and it is proved beyond doubt. The Honourable Member wish to have the government here this evening to enjoy themselves in order to rib us about questions relating to scaffolding, when indeed there is a lot more to do, and this community will look at us and say, given where we are, what on earth are they doing spending 15 minutes on a scaffolding that's already come down? And it seems to me that scaffolding is not the only edifice at risk of collapse.
Next question. I think we should move on.
Question number 130, the Honourable E.J. Hill.
Can government inform the House how many cases of unlawful occupation of government rented homes are currently being investigated by the relevant authorities?
I'm to the Honourable Minister for Housing, Youth and Sport.
Mr. Speaker, the answer remains the same as my answer provided to you in the last session of Parliament.
Mr. Speaker, in the last session of Parliament, in reply to question 14, which was a reply to the question I posed at question number 161 and 162 of 2019, it said that they were dealing with a particular case, which is why I'm asking to have. If you haven't been concluded, what sort of progress has been made, Mr. Speaker?
Mr. Speaker, the answer I've got here is there is currently one case of unlawful occupation, which the Housing Department is dealing with. It's still dealing with.
Speaker, I don't know if the question of the last December question, but there are 24 suspected of unlawful occupation, 16 of which were asked to leave no left, and the other 5 in there were declared as willful tenants, and therefore 0 is the balance, if my mathematics is correct, and then another less than 0. So I'm not sure where this one is, and whether it reflects the position as of December 2019. Clearly it doesn't.
I refer the Honourable Member to read the answer to the question 163 before any other comments.
I move that the House is now adjourned, not least to allow Mr. Speaker with more edifying and important matters, to Wednesday the 19th of February at 4 p.m.
I now propose a question, which is that this House to now adjourn to Wednesday the 19th of February at 4 p.m. And I'll put the question, which is that this House to now adjourn to Wednesday the 19th of February at 4 p.m. Those in favour? Those against? The House will now adjourn to Wednesday the 19th of February at 4 p.m.